Hi everyone, it's Maya here. I hope you're all doing well and staying safe. I know it's really crazy right now and stressful with all the craziness that's going on, but I just wanted to wish you guys lots of warmth and peace of mind going forward, okay? So with that little greeting, let's dive into today's podcast. So today I wanted to talk to you guys about the notion of colorism, specifically how it plays a role within the lens of the U.S. Census. Throughout the podcast, I'm going to start off with talking about what is the U.S. Census and why is it so important for us and how does it correlate to colorism and what is colorism and how do those two really interline with each other. So with that brief intro, let's dive right in. What is the U.S. Census? The U.S. Census is essentially the collection or enumeration of individuals' information in their respective states. This information contains the age, gender, race, and ethnicity of members of a household. It is a decennial census. Let me try that again. It is a decennial census, which happens every 10 years, and it's required by law. It came to be in the U.S. Constitution under Article 2 in 1790, and since then, it has been a tool to determine the distribution of seats in Congress, House of Representatives, and the Electoral College. It determines when and where federal funds will be allocated for schools, roads, and other public services. Over the decades, questions of racial identity have definitely loomed over the census, specifically in regards to those who are multiracial, biracial, or ethnically ambiguous individuals. If we look at the history of the racial identity question part of the census, there's definitely been major changes. When the first U.S. Census came out, it was very simplified to white or black, or white and those who are not white. But as time and society changed, it came to include more diverse and somewhat fitting options. In 2000, you had the option to choose other or write in your own. And in that same year, the question of ethnicity expanded. However, it faced its perhaps most controversial moment in 2018, where the Trump administration attempted to require a citizenship questionnaire as part of the census. It went all the way to the Supreme Court, where it was rejected and ruled unconstitutional because in the history of the census that we've had in the United States, being a citizen has never been part of the requirement. Now, why am I telling you all about the U.S. Census? Great question. Like I said, the census is vital in relaying information to the government. It allows demographics and statistics that help issues such as gerrymandering or redlining. But even now, the lack of categories to choose from when it comes to multiracial or biracial identities is still a big problem with individuals. Which leads me to the next topic of how colorism all ties in here. So, what is colorism? Colorism is a system of privileges and disadvantages that is based on the lightness or darkness of one's skin, with somewhat favoritism towards those with lighter skin. It also means that there are social implications attached to the skin color. Colorism is not a new notion. Scholars such as Alice Walker, W.E.B. Du Bois, Toni Morrison, and Audre Lorde all have mentioned and examined the notion of colorism within their lives and others. Colorism is very interesting because it acts as a hierarchy within a hierarchy. It creates stigma and pressure to fit a mold that accompanies a skin complexion, which can all be traced back to a European-American ideology that heightens the notion of white supremacy and racial purity. The social stigma behind colorism is deeply embedded in today's culture and society, and we see that through policy actions and the criminal justice system. In a study of criminal sentencing outcomes of North Carolina inmates in 2011, inmates who coded themselves as having lighter skinned received shorter sentences and had a lower incarceration rate. Colorism is a key player in really showing how intersectionality ties the personal into the political and the political into the personal. Now, I will definitely talk more about how colorism affects the individual and how that all ties together with this great feeling of confusion and how that correlates with the U.S. Census. But I want to dive into a bit about the history of colorism in the U.S. Census that I don't think gets talked about enough. Colorism and the U.S. Census came to intertwine with the notion or rule of hyper-descent. The rule of hyper-descent came with the arrival of European Americans and was used to create a social barrier between people of color and European Americans by forcing and suppressing the expression of multiracial identity and forcing them to choose exclusively to their background of color. This made way towards towards the one-drop rule, which is a oppressive variant of the rule of hyper-descent. The one-drop rule was put into place to stop any choice of self-identification and made it socially designed to those individuals of African-American ancestry to identify as having to be black. And it acted as, again, another tool to suppress multiracial identities and keep the idea and notion of racial purity alive. The one-drop rule made its way all the way from the 1700s to 1920s, where it became the almost common sense definition of blackness and had been internalized among the vast majority of African descent Americans. Now, we've talked a lot about African Americans versus European Americans during this time, but the U.S. Census provides this weird, almost question mark area for those who are multiracial, and not just between black and white, but those who are of Latino and Korean origins. It creates this kind of melting pot questionnaire. The U.S. Census provides